Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing it, and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're gonna get Amin in those, so you gotta listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Welcome to Black Opinions Matter, motherfucker. This is going to be the shortest intro ever because we got to get to the topic at hand. Patreon.com/countthedings. Make sure you're a Patreon. You get this full episode all at once right on the same day on Mondays. Otherwise, you're going to get little bits each day throughout the week. All right. So Atlanta and BMF. We'll start with Atlanta.
What the fuck? I'm there, man. I'm there.
Well, you know what I realized? You know what I realized, Trey? I'm gonna put it to y'all like this, very simply. I realized if we weren't reviewing it for Bomb, I wouldn't be watching these episodes. I would have quit like three episodes ago. I'd be like, I'm done. It's okay. How did it end? I don't know. Don't care. Again, what was the point of the episode?
I figured it out, but it just took the whole fucking episode.
Go ahead, Jer, tell us.
To figure it out. Like, and it's fucking stupid because it took forever. But it was just the whole how like we all got mad shit going on. It's a mental, it was a mental health one. Like it was a all about you taking care of you type episode and I didn't catch it until Earn called him. He just went through all this shit and he was like, "Nah, I'm good. I'm good." And it's just like, yo, you know, sometimes we got mad shit going on, but people aren't good. Like, it was one of those. That's what it was. Like, but it sucked.
I ain't take nothing from that. All I took was black people shouldn't be doing white people shit.
All right. Yeah. Okay. So I have a couple of questions. Question one was, Paperboy is now at a point that we've established many a times that he's rich. He's been very successful.
The nigga has a safe.
D'Angelo.
Right. So why? So not why. I shouldn't say why. Whatever. For him, he goes. He buys a farm. He buys a rusty old tractor. He works on it. Whatever. If you were super rich, what would be your quote unquote escape? Because that's what I'm assuming. His escape is growing weed in a greenhouse and having like a tractor, not a brand new tractor, mind you, but an old shitty tractor that he fixes himself based off of YouTube videos and all that. Clearly, that's some shit. That's his escape. That's his hobby. That's what takes his mind. I'm like, I don't care how rich I am. I ain't going to be that bored. So what would be your kind of like escape or getaway as a rich person?
Shit. I mean, I don't like coming outside as is. So I'd probably be ducked off like a bullshit ass area. I'm still learning how to slow my life down, though. But I probably wouldn't do no fucking farm. I'd be like in another country, just kind of posted up, just trying to like blend in. You know what
I'm
saying?
But that's not like an escape from the day to day. That's not some shit you can do. Like, yo, it's been a hectic week. I'm going off overseas and blending in. Like,
no, I'm gonna. No, I'm not. No, I'm going over there to live though. That's what I'm saying. I'd be.
No, but that's what I'm saying. But that's not. That's different. That's like I'm disappearing. I thought I might just. Clearly for him, this is his idea of a break.
Yeah, but he also they spinning this off of Soulja Boy talking about nigga, you don't got the safe for him. And like him trying to be
I forgot all about that shit.
Yeah, it was just, you know what I mean? So like him basically being away, but also it also helping him like get some time away from reality and the shit that he was going through. But he also just a country nigga. Like he's supposed to be a country nigga in this show. So like
not that country though.
No, not that country, but I'm just saying he sold that. But think about how bored rich people be in the shit that they just start taking up. Like, fucking Lupe Fiasco became a fucking, really a dojo fucking taekwondo instructor.
Yep, that's a great example. That's a great example of what I'm asking. Like, what's the shit that, like, you would do?
Andre 3000. Nigga goes to fucking Euron and plays that fucking flute. He just be walking around L.A.,
yep,
playing a fucking flute. I don't know. I would just have to be really random, bro. I'd be just showing up. I like to be just still doing shit, but like in disguise, almost like growing my hair wild, dressed fucking weird, just in the cut, and just blending and just showing up in spots. Like, damn, that nigga was actually there.
Hasn't that already started then?
It has. It has. I'm doing that in New York. Most people are like, "When are you coming back to LA?" And I'm like, "I'm not." I mean, because I've been able to blend.
Like the Fresh Prince season finale. Remember that?
There you go. Yeah, I mean, I've been slowly transitioning, man. Blending back in with society.
Jerv, what would you do?
I definitely would have my safe farm would be at like some, it would be in an island somewhere, and I would just grow weed.
Yeah. See, that's what I'm talking about. Like,
I would go there to grow weed and just like then sell it. I'd become like I would do like every other rapper or every famous black person is doing right now, which is coming out with their own strand of weed. And I would just try and take over the weed game and have like the dopest strand out ever.
Nah, but you gotta buy it and just don't be the face of it. You feel me? Like that's all the way off the grid, where you just do the shit and then just be like,
okay, all right. That's fine. I don't need my name on it.
Niggas, I think, know. That's the best shit. Cause like, if nigga can't find you, can't find you. I'd be too scared to go out like and sell C and just be posted on the C. That shit, I thought the nigga forget about me or some shit.
I go fishing.
You know who actually does that right now? I mean, Wilson
Paul George. Oh, no, Wilson Chandler.
He's back in Michigan, right? Because I thought I used to always think he was Detroit. He out in Benton. It was like the real sticks.
Yeah.
Bro, just be fishing. He'd really be just chilling fishing. And I was like, that's tight. Like the idea that you can just go back to your hometown and just be in the cut and just be posted. It's Chappelle too, nigga. You know what I mean? It's niggas that really go back to their hometown and just blend in. If my hometown wasn't that dangerous, I'd do some shit like that.
when did you start fishing? Or is that...
I've never fished in my life.
Oh, okay, okay. So it would just be some like shit that you've never. I got you.
Yeah, let me try this shit. Let me do this shit. You know, sit out there, be on the water.
I can't fish, bro. That's too chill for me.
That's what I'm saying. You have to require patience, bro. You got to learn to sit still.
Well, I mean, like my thing is like I don't even know if I wanted to. Like, I'm not trying to catch like fucking jaws and shit. Like, I'm just like that. Just that process of being out there, being away from everybody. And just be quiet. Like to me, I can't imagine working on a rusty old tractor. That shit is awful. Like, that's work, man. I don't want to do that. I want to just do some shit that's relaxing. But I get it, because for him, that's what they're trying to tell us. Like, for him, that's what relaxes him. Second question from this episode. Have you ever been sunburned? Because I'm my paper boy. I don't believe Black people could get sunburned.
I might have and didn't know it.
No, you know it.
No, but I'm saying like I've had like a pain or certain shit that just really just didn't determine. I fell asleep like at the pool in Arizona.
And did it hurt? Did your skin hurt?
Yes.
And you got sunburned, nigga.
I was in Arizona laying at the pool and fell asleep at my pool. I was drunk though. And
oh, you definitely got sunburned off.
I was cooked, dog.
Your body had nothing to fight off.
Nothing, bro. I was sitting there cooked. I had drank a bunch of wine, and I just sat by my pool, and I just laid out. And I caught myself just kind of chilling. I had some sunglasses on. You know, obviously, I'm too dark to tan, but nigga was just out there just exhausted. And when I came in, boy, I was sore. I don't know what happened. So when they said that in the episode, I was like, damn, I probably did get sunburned and I didn't even know.
No, Nick, we can get sun. I've had it.
White people can get ashy too. It's a bunch of shit.
I've seen white people get ashy.
I've never seen white people ashy.
Oh, I've seen a really? White woman with ashiest ankles ever. It's weird. Their ashiness looks, man, like.
Maybe I have seen it. I just didn't recognize it as ash.
Yep. Jerp, you been sunburned?
Yeah.
Like you put on sunscreen?
No, because I still don't. Even though it happens to me, like I still got this shit in me that's just like, yo, Black people don't get sunburned.
So you
like
on sunscreen?
You said have I put on sunscreen?
Yeah.
I went to. I remember my aunt took me to this thing called Angel Camp, and they were like giving out fucking. Like my auntie was like, yo, you need to put it on, like UV and all that stuff, because Black people get skin cancer. And I was fighting it so bad because I was just a hood nigga. And I had never been on my element. And she was just kind of like, nigga, put it on.
I'm going to say this. Knock on wood. I come from a country, Sudan, where it's like Arizona's the weather. It's sunny and hot all the fucking time. About 40 million Sudanese people. Not once have I ever heard of someone in Sudan having skin cancer. Not one time in my life, in mi vida. Never. So I kind of feel like, oh, that shit is bullshit. I don't know. I've never been sunburnt. I know my kids, because they are lighter in color than I am, I will often tell them to spray down. But I don't know. Not only do I not put on sunscreen, I don't even understand that shit. I still know niggas be like SPF 545. I don't know what that means.
I lied. I had put some on, but I put like whatever the travel size one that's on.
You put that shit and make your nose white.
No.
You had like the triangle and shit.
No. Definitely not me. I do put off on. I put mosquito. I'll spray the hell out of myself with that, but
I almost bought some today. That shit real.
You got that long sleeve in it. You West Coast niggas, dog. It don't matter what the weather is. Y'all always gonna wear some long sleeves.
Nah, it was raining like a motherfucker a few minutes ago.
Oh, okay.
That's Miami, man. Hold on. That humidity. Oof, it was bad this week. Oh, let me ask y'all this. I asked this question. Speaking of questions on the show. How far is too far to walk before you call an Uber? And the reason I ask is because when I was in Miami, I walked a mile and a half because I thought, man, that's just too close.
That's not crazy because you're from New York.
But it turns out it was crazy because it took me like 35 minutes to do it. So I was like, man, I wish I had just grabbed an Uber. But what's the distance where you're like, I can't Uber this. I'm going to just walk it.
Depending who you with. If you by yourself.
Solo.
Solo, 12.
Solo, and the weather is not awful, and it's not through the hood.
I'm a walker.
Just so, a regular.
So 12 to 20 day. Minutes. 12 to 20 minutes, non-New York. I could do a 20-minute walk, non-New York. In Austin, I walked fucking 4 miles because I'm just crazy.
Location is very, very key. Location is very key.
Now, why is that? What do you mean by that, Jerry?
Because this motherfucker's wild for walking 4 miles in Austin. That shit ain't nothing but the highways and a whole bunch of shit.
Because I'm so used to, again, New York blocks is so short that you don't even realize how much ground you carry. You know what I mean?
It's not the blocks being short, Trey. You know what it is? It's that so much shit.
There's so much going on.
Okay. There's so much going on. Your brain is preoccupied with all that.
Because I'll be doing roughly 17,000 to 20,000 steps in New York.
Damn.
Easy. When I moved to Austin for a month, I pulled that shit. I remember just using the Capitol building as the North Star. Like, okay, if I ever get lost, that's where I gotta go. I found myself in the sticks. I just kept walking. I was on the phone. I'm just thinking
who the fuck is this nigga?
And I'm just walking and I turned around to me and I said, yo, I pulled up the maps. That shit said I was 5.2 miles away. That's how much I walked. So
that's crazy.
I will walk a lot, but outside of New York, I've learned that 12 to 20 minutes is my line to go get an Uber. I just also don't want to pay $19 to fucking $23 for something I can just casually hop on the phone. And
it's gotta be ridiculously cheap. It's gotta be like $7 for me to be like, fuck it, let's go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else? I'm walking. I'm cheap, bro. I'm frugal.
Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher turned podcast producer, and I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high-quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep, free shipping, vacuum-sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high-quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise. But maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, BMF. Last but not least, BMF. Meech goes to Atlanta, and the creation of the network across the country, which would eventually become BMF. First of all, shout out to the doctor who was a professor of hip hop studies at Georgia Tech. Where were these classes when I was there? Fuck you guys. They barely had fucking just regular classes.
You would have went to that class?
Fuck yeah. Probably would have got an F.
I was gonna say certain classes like that, I feel like the teacher will hate you or some stupid shit. I don't fall for them type of classes, bro. I had an African American arts class.
I would have fallen for that shit hook, line, and sinker. You tell me. 18-year-old of me, there's a hip hop studies class. Oh shit.
My professor was a dick, dog. That nigga was trying to make an example of me. I used to be hot. I don't like them type of professors.
But so the network is built, and it's built out of necessity because the plug through Miami dries up due to law enforcement. So then they start bringing stuff in through Mexico. So that forces them to send Terry out to LA to be kind of the liaison there. And then from there, they go across the country with all this shit. But one of the interesting things I saw in this episode where they talk about not needing violence to get the point across. And I'm like, that sounds nice. But then also you introduced me to a character named Firecracker. I gotta be like, y'all had some violence. Come on now.
What my man say?
I think they had violence.
I was the muscle.
I think they had violence until they didn't have violence. And I think when it gets to that point, obviously, the niggas was really trying to be good people and do it a certain way and had their rules. But you're playing with a lot of money. You're playing with a lot of drugs. It's going to get violent. Somebody going to try to, turn over the deal. Somebody going to be trying to, be slick, do all these different things that causes you to protect yourself. So it's going to get violent eventually. And I think that maybe their initial goals was not to do that. They didn't want that on their heads because, again, they were a very religious family and didn't want to be dealing with that. But at the end of the day, and it's so crazy thinking about how feared Meech was. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, if you think about now, you hear the myths about him or all these different stories, you'd be like, you would think that he would be the one putting in work. But he was trying to actually do it clean how he's supposed to do it. And then he started getting niggas like Firecracker and et cetera. Who was just live wire ass niggas that you can't really tell nobody what to do.
Can I just say
that's a wild name?
That's a wild name for a white boy, especially Firecracker. That's the old.
That shit kind of hard.
It's hard. You fucking wild. Pause. Also, it reminded me of the Dave Chappelle thing. It's like never trust a white boy among a group of black people because you don't know what he did to gain their respect. That motherfucker went above and beyond.
Nigga to deliver a nigga head, decapitated. That's the type of nigga he going over beyond. He probably ex-military, all kind of shit.
Are we just led to believe that whoever, the people they mention, if they're not speaking, that they're just not around anymore? Are we just led to believe that?
What people?
What was my man in Green Eyes and shit like that? Should we just believe?
At the end of the day, it's been some time, bro. It's roughly been 30-something years. So a lot of people probably expired or they in jail and they're not available for the interviews or they probably fell out and they just not leaving them out of the story out of respect. You know what I'm saying? The show goes on, but at the end of the day, if even if you felt, I mean, most people, if they fall out with somebody or they be like, you know, they ain't gonna really mention them. But in this particular case, me just like keeping it real, he even mentioning the niggas that shot him and this shit. So you can't omit their story because they a huge part of it.
I thought it was very interesting that the turning point, it seems like this is what they're setting up next episode. The turning point was the naming of the network and coming up with the letters, BMF. And that once that happened, now they're on the radar. Now people know who they are. And now law enforcement knows who they are. And it reminded me of Frank Lucas in American Gangster when he goes to the Ali Frazier fight. And he wears the fur coat with the hat. And that was the beginning of everything, because the end of everything, because up until that point, law enforcement didn't even know who he was. And it seems like here, law enforcement didn't know who they were until they started wearing the chains with the letters and have people shouting them out in the songs and all that. And I'm like, man, isn't that a crazy ass, like, again and again, it seems to be the wildest way for your empire to end, which is by people knowing who you are as opposed to just being quiet in the cut.
I mean, especially to the extreme that we've heard or seen or whatever, know that they went to, you know what I mean? Like, I wonder how in depth they're going to get into what they did. I wonder if they're going to show like the billboards and shit like that. Like, that's
advertising.
That's wild shit, bruh.
We're advertising. Reminder, if you wanted to listen to the entire episode all at once, patreon.com/countthedings, become a Patreon. You get the entire episode in its totality on Monday, bright early. If you're okay with waiting, every single segment comes out on a separate day. So just wait for it and you'll get to it sooner or later. And be on the lookout again for those watch alongs. We got NFL games coming. We got more movies to come watch along. All type of shit. Till next time, stay black.